Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson is proposing changes she says may improve and repair the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and we will talk about them during this half of the State Capitol Report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Monday, September the 12th. We will talk with a political analyst and a court watcher about the ideas that Shirley Abrahamson is proposing, ideas that come after a very contentious time on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There was a highly controversial election last spring, and then the report of a physical altercation between two Supreme Court justices when tensions flared over the release of the court's ruling on a case challenging the procedure used to pass the changes to the state's collective bargaining system. Recently, a special prosecutor said no criminal charges would be filed against either justice involved, David Prosser or Ann Walsh Bradley. The proposed changes by Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson would open up more proceedings to the public and would change the way conflicts of interest are handled by the justices. And we will welcome your questions and views on these at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jolly Emery, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Let me quote from Chief Justice Abrahamson's memo on this that she released last week. This has been a difficult year for the country, for the state, and for this court. The bitter divisions in the legislature, state and federal, have affected public confidence, and we have had our own problems. They certainly have not been hidden. It really has been a difficult year, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
And what can be done about this? I mean, what is Chief Justice Abrahamson proposing, things that are going to ease tensions on the court?
Well, she's proposed a number of things. With respect to tensions among the justices, one of the things that she's proposed is that at no expense to taxpayers, there be some sort of group dynamic expert to come and talk to the justices about how better to resolve conflict among themselves when they're making decisions. She's also talked about maybe obtaining for justices some personal training and conflict resolution along the same lines. So that's one of the things that she's discussing in terms of the justices themselves. And then she's got some other reforms that she will be putting forth on Thursday in the administrative conference, which is an open public meeting.
Mm-hmm. And what are those?
Well, those have to do with the decision-making process. She's looking at this on two different levels, which is really interesting. First, she believes that it's very important, and I think she's correct, that the public have more trust in the court, particularly after this past year. And so one of the ways to obtain more trust is to make the proceedings more open. So certain proceedings right now are closed to the public. That would include deliberations on what cases they choose to review, and then their deliberations when they're making decisions on the merits of those cases that they have selected.
Does any Supreme Court do that?
No.
So, wow, that's a big change.
It is a big change. It's a huge change. And Wisconsin isn't new to kind of pushing these developments. With respect to this meeting on Thursday, the administrative meeting, Wisconsin was the first state to open up these conferences to the public. So we kind of led the way in that direction. And there is a call, there's an organization called the National Center for State Courts that looks at all state courts, obviously, and pays a lot of attention to public perception of courts right now. And they've discussed having more openness, but more openness more with respect to the press and the media. Here, obviously, the public includes the press, but, you know, anyone could potentially have access to the court in this instance.
So specifically on this proposal, Chief Justice Abrahamson is saying that we should be able to come in when the justices are going to be going over the pros and cons of, should we take this case? Does this set precedent? You know, why should we take it? Why shouldn't we take it? And we'd be able to hear all that.
Well, we'd be able to hear, not necessarily be present in the same room with them as they're having their conferences, but there are different ways in which she has suggested that these proceedings could be made or conferences could be made more open. One is to have a live television debate where people can view that over the TV. Another would be to have some sort of live streaming, or to simply tape it and then release those deliberations later after the cases have been decided.
Mm-hmm. And what are the... And then the same thing after oral arguments, after they hear a case, there would be deliberations as to whether they would rule something constitutional or unconstitutional?
Right. They usually, what they typically do is have a conference before oral argument. So they will meet before the oral argument to discuss the case, then they have oral argument, and then they will have another conference or afterward to vote on the merits of the case, where each of the justices will discuss what they think in terms of how this case should be decided on the various issues. So having those proceedings open either by tape or via transcript, that's another option that would be available, just to have them transcribed and then people could read about what took place later, would be something that would be very unusual.
Can you help us understand what would be the arguments against opening up deliberations along these lines?
Sure. It goes back to a very sort of central argument about courts in particular. One is that judges should have some independence, particularly on the high courts. So independence means that they aren't being swayed by outside influences. However, and this is especially true with respect to state courts, we believe in accountability. That is, that our justices make decisions that we feel we should have the right to hold them accountable for. So, there is a concern that if you have these proceedings public, that there might be some pressure exerted on the justices to change their decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. And there's another proposal that's going to be considered, I think, on Thursday, and this is the changing the rules when it comes to a justice recusing him or herself.
Right. So one of the things that she has proposed is that justices would disqualify themselves when they follow this rule known as the reasonable person or the reasonable disinterested person, which is basically someone who has, good judgment, average judgment, essentially, and skill and can look at things and decide, you know, in a comparative basis that it's best that he or she not participate. So using that, and then if that were to fail, having an outside commission, a commission not made up of justices who would determine whether or not, some sort of tribunal that would determine whether or not there should be a rule established to decide if litigants should be able to keep a justice on that particular case, whether or not to kind of overturn a decision to recuse oneself.
Well, besides those we've just discussed, is there anything else in any other court changes that we should note?
Well, another one that is about public transparency is Justice Abrahamson wants to have more oral arguments held outside of Madison. So they go maybe once a year to another court. And she believes that if the court were to go outside of Madison more often around the state, people would have more access, the public would have more access to the justices, lawyers in other towns throughout the state would have more access, other court personnel who do work that's important to the Wisconsin judicial system would have more access. So that's another way to keep the court in the public's presence and to also show the rest of the state that the court works for them as well.
So what do you think of these proposed changes issued by Supreme Court Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson that would make the Wisconsin Supreme Court more transparent? We are talking about these proposed changes with Jolly Emery, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, and we welcome your questions and your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Should more court proceedings, including deliberations, be opened up to the public? Should the Supreme Court change the way conflicts of interest are handled? Do you want to see the court hearing oral arguments on cases in other parts of the state, not just Madison? And what about these ideas to bring in some sort of outside person to help the justices with conflict resolution? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, mostly sunny, a chance of afternoon showers or storms in northwestern and north central Wisconsin, highs today in the 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk about the 9/11 10th anniversary this weekend and all the media coverage of it. We'll talk with a guest about the psychological trauma of the attacks then and now. Have we healed? We'll talk more about that after 8. Right now we are talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court back in action after a very contentious summer, and they will be considering some proposals from Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson this week, proposals that she says will help restore public trust in Wisconsin's high court, and one of them would open up more proceedings, including deliberations, to the public. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. Our first caller is Thomas in Milwaukee. Hello, Thomas.
Hi. I just want to say this, that there have been numerous instances of verbal abuse, and now one of someone putting his hands around someone's neck, even by his own admission, and of the type that wouldn't be tolerated in any other venue, in the business world, in schools. So aside from all these questions about whether public viewing or some kind of public scrutiny of deliberations is good judicial policy or not, it's necessary just to keep, because of the nature of bad behavior, it's necessary to have some kind of public scrutiny just to keep that under control, if nothing else.
All right. Thank you very much, Thomas. Professor Emery, your thoughts on if this public scrutiny would keep that sort of behavior in line?
Well, I think Thomas is right on one level. I mean, it could keep that kind of behavior in line. If you know you're being watched, you tend to behave, or you tend to be on your best behavior. So I think that that's one thing. It's probably one of the reasons that you would want to have these sessions taped. However, I think that the Chief Justice is coming from the perspective that it's more in order to make the proceedings of the court more public in general, with respect to what they do, with respect to their decision-making, so that people feel like they can trust the court more in terms of its decision-making processes. But certainly, with respect to what happened, the allegations this past spring and summer, if you had something documented, it would be helpful. And also, if you had these things taped all the time, people might be less willing to allow their tempers to flare.
Mm-hmm. Well, as mentioned, tempers flared over the release of the ruling on the collective bargaining law. And a special prosecutor said no criminal charges would be filed against Justice Prosser or Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. Justice Prosser said that he put his hands on Justice Bradley's neck in trying to stop her from charging him, and no criminal charges were going to be filed on either of them. But that doesn't mean that this is over. Isn't there a judicial commission looking into this to some extent,
yes.
Professor Emery?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. There is. And then the court does have its own method for dealing with problems, its own internal way of looking at these kinds of issues, and that's what's going on right now. So no criminal proceedings, but there is a commission that's looking into the incident.
But doesn't the Supreme Court have to sort of have final say on what the commission says?
Yes, they do. And the justices involved have to recuse themselves. They cannot participate because what they do in the end is they conduct a vote like they do on everything else. So only 5 of the justices would be able to participate in the vote.
Yeah, and yeah, that would have... So witnesses, the people involved and the witnesses would not be able to participate is my understanding. So there'd be like one person.
Right, one person, yeah.
So anyway, David on Facebook writes, the court is a microcosm of the whole country. The divide between ideologies is growing at a fast pace, and the bigger the divide, the worse the confrontations. Regardless of what the two sides will say here, both parties' representatives on the court hold much responsibility for the antagonism. So I guess he's saying a pox on Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, and I think the Chief Justice, along with David, has addressed this to some degree in her memo, where she said, you know, no one here is blameless. And so it's not one justice or two justices or one party over another. It's actually the court as a whole. So that's why she thinks it's very important that the court begin this new term by, as one editorial described it, allowing more sunshine in. So, mm-hmm. And putting together or proposing at least these reforms and hoping that the other justices will go along.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller, and we have an open line and some time for you if you have a thought or question on these proposals to open up the state Supreme Court and to try to restore public trust in Wisconsin's Supreme Court. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think of these ideas to open up these deliberations to the public, the Supreme Court deliberations? What do you think about changing the way conflicts of interest are handled? And what should be done to tamp down the tensions on Wisconsin's Supreme Court? Don in West Salem is with us next. Hello, Don, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
Very well. What do you think of this?
I think anything that brings any debate or dispute out into the light is a good thing. I think when you keep everything quiet and hush-hush, you're going the way of communism.
Well, have you have a reaction to that, Professor Emery?
Well, I think Don's right. Having things more open is very democratic. So the more open the process, the more democratic it is. And we like transparency in the state of Wisconsin. I don't know that necessarily having closed deliberations leads to something like authoritarianism or communism, but it's certainly in this political time that we're in, it doesn't add to more confidence, or doesn't help restore confidence in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you, Professor Emery, have what's your analysis or your take on these ideas? Do you think they would help restore public trust in the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
I think they could. I think they could restore trust. I think people would be surprised to some degree. As a person who studies law and courts, judges, they have their own personalities, as we've learned. They have their own political preferences, as we know. And so people might be surprised at what kinds of things go into a judge's decision-making process. So that they could learn from that. As a political scientist who studies courts, I would love to have these things open so I could see what's going on. But at the same time, I can see that some justices may not be comfortable, that they may like to have a bit more privacy during particularly the conferences where they discuss the merits of the case or where they're selecting the cases they wish to review.
Mm-hmm. I did see an editorial in the Wisconsin State Journal the editorial did, for the most part, was favorable for these changes, but mm-hmm. said, we need to go a step further than this, and Chief Justice Abrahamson should change her mind when it comes to merit selection, and that we actually need to change the way that Supreme Court justices are selected. Your thoughts on whether we might ever see that?
Well, I know that there's a proposal going around the state right now. It's a bipartisan proposal looking at change in selection to merit selection. And I think that merit selection could help on a number of levels, particularly with respect to outside influence on judicial elections, which is becoming an increasing problem and is going to be more problematic in the state since lots of money comes not only from potential litigants to support justices when they run for election or re-election, but also lots of money from the outside of the state, too.
That's Owen and DePere. We're almost out of time. Owen, what do you have to say?
Yes, I see what's happening in the Supreme Court as the Chief Justice's inability to control her job. I think it would be best if she would resign and put a new face and start all over.
There are some proposals to change the way the Chief Justice is chosen, too. Is that right, Professor Emery?
Right. Right now, the rule is that the person who served on the court the longest is Chief Justice. So making a different selection process for the Chief Justice is something that's being talked about. Under the circumstances with respect to last term, I don't know that necessarily that would have made a big difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certain things that went on.
Yeah. Does the, only a minute to go, does the Chief Justice bear a big part of the responsibility for what we've been reading about?
Well, I think she may feel she bears responsibility. I think that's why she's come up with these proposals that she wants to present. Obviously, she's been reflecting a lot on this, and she's spoken a lot to others about possible reforms. I think that you have to, when you have this type of divisiveness, this type of bitterness, as we've read about and we've learned from others that's going on in the court, one of the things that you have to have in conflict resolution is people being willing to come to the table and talk. And if you have people who are working with who are unwilling to come to some sort of compromise or to work on conflict resolution, what can you do? So that's, I think, been a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Well, we will continue to follow this issue and call upon you, Jolly Emery, to help us understand it. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Jolly Emery, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, who studies the courts and the law. Thanks very much to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing these programs. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.